T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, big deal or no big deal. And there's a bunch of stuff coming up at 4:30 today. We'll continue with more of our draft coverage tomorrow. Mel Kiper will join us sometime during tomorrow's program. And then, of course, we're 9 days away from the big draft day. And Friday, it'll be Angry Lou. Pissing and moaning because Bill didn't draft a quarterback. Get ready for it. To the phone calls we go at 617-779-7937. Here's Eric in Dartmouth. Says he's a high school soccer coach. Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's up, OMF? How you guys doing?
What's up, good. Eric?
Big fan, Lou. Watched you growing up. So I don't think you guys are completely grasping the layout of this Super League. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Champions League. Each team in their domestic league, however they finish, the top leagues in the world get to submit teams to the Champions League. This Super League would eliminate all of these great teams from competing in that Champions League. Barcelona, Real Madrid, they're all fighting for spots in this Champions League year after year. They would still compete in their domestic leagues. Barcelona would still compete in La Liga. Chelsea would still compete in the EPL. But now they wouldn't take place in Champions League, which is all across Europe. It would just be this small group of this Super League. So they're eliminating the greatness of Champions League. And that's why this Super League sucks in the fans' opinion.
But aren't they also, Eric, aren't some of the leagues saying that if they join this Super League that they wouldn't want to ban them from their own domestic leagues?
Yeah, so they would all compete in their domestic leagues.
But they want to ban them from competing in that.
No, that's not the way to go. No. So all of those matches, you play 30 plus matches in your domestic leagues. Those leagues still want them there. It's the UEFA umbrella that wants them to compete in Champions League because that's where the big, big prize is. If you teams want to win Champions League more than they want to win their domestic league. It's the best team in Europe when you win Champions League. When you win your domestic league, you're just the best team in your country.
No, it's a terrible thing. So it's like the NCAA tournament, just worldwide.
Another money grub.
What they're trying to do, these teams that wanted to join this Super League, what they're trying to do is to not have to compete for Champions League year after year for that entry. They just want to be in there every
automatically.
Year.
Yeah.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah, that, I think that's the key right there. They want
qualify
to
qualify for the Champions League. They just want to have their own Super League.
Yeah, opposed to what, the top four? Is that how it works?
It depends. So the EPL in Great Britain, England, they get to send four because they're a very good league. The Netherlands only gets to send their top team. Turkey only gets to send their top team. So really, it depends how good your league is, how many teams you get to send.
Hmm. Okay. Well, they only get to send
one team?
Yeah, because the Netherlands, they're not that good. Well, they're not that good, though.
Well,
so they only have one good team in that league, and the league is much better in the UK than it is there, right? That's what he's saying. Wooden shoes probably slow them down a little bit, you think? I don't know. Maybe that's a possibility. here's Matt. Matt's in a
That's actually not bad. I mean,
hello, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, man? I picked the wrong day to stop smoking grass after listening to that guy.
420. Yes, you did.
division or the worst division in the first league would go down a division. The next, the best leagues would kick up. So they were constantly, that last league team in the number one division was changing.
Right.
You know, and every once in a while there'd be a tie and they'd switch out two. So that kind of made it interesting where you're constantly dealing with somebody. If a team started getting better, they could certainly jump up a league and win it. But we don't have the minor leagues to back that thing up. You know what I mean?
Isn't that what they loved about John Henry initially when he took over Liverpool, that they were out of it and they moved up? Wasn't that what happened?
They just loved his money.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
That too.
Yeah,
well, they did win. Didn't they win, though? They won. Didn't they win it?
Yes.
Okay, was this before or after LeBron James had his magic touch on
LeBron's ruined everything. He really has.
Hey, one last thing. A scrum is a very specific thing. Can you guys stop calling everything that happens in baseball and football when guys are fighting, it's a scrum? It's a very specific thing.
Okay.
Oh, here's the rugby guy.
He's offended by the use of
scrum.
Matt, sorry, buddy.
Knowledge.
Just know that when we use the word scrum, you know, it's not offensive to rugby.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Don't try to get me fired.
I mean, the whole relegation thing doesn't make any sense to me. You're going to eliminate, you know, teams and put them in a lower league? If you're the Bruins, don't you need like three games against Buffalo so that you can pick up 6 points? I mean, if they were dropped into the lower league, then you wouldn't have that.
Well, right?
But you end up, you win your way back into the cool group.
The best of the best.
Like you have to earn it. I don't know. I kind of like it. I know it won't happen here. You know, but it was all, you know, I mentioned, you know, we were talking about, you know, tanking in the NBA. That it would eliminate that altogether. You tank, not only do you get hit financially, but publicly. Like, it'll take you a while. But if you're going to force, if it'll force you to compete every single year.
You go to the
year.
G League.
Yeah, you go play up in Maine somewhere. In Vermont, another snobby state.
It happens the next season, though, right? So if the Bruins, let's say the Patriots.
Hey, go watch Ted Lasso.
I love Ted Lasso. Second season's coming up. So if you look at the Patriots, and the Patriots had a 7-9 season, and let's say they were dropped out of the AFC East.
Yep.
They were dropped down to the lower group or whatever. That would be for next season. You're feeling pretty good about this team. It should win 10 or 11 games, but you're playing in the lower league.
Well, you know, that'll force you to make better decisions at your quarterback position too, huh? It'll force you to not to sit there and make smarter choices knowing that you don't have a year to rebuild.
You don't want to just sign guys to 1 year deals. Yeah. You'll get you in the upper league, but then you suck again. Because now they're gone. You're up in the upper league, but you know. Now you don't have any.
Now you have to take a bust all your games too. That would be the other penalty.
Well, and if you're in that lower league, you're not going to draw as many fans. You're not going to have as much money coming in, and then you don't have the money to go and sign the other players. See, I think it's awful. I think it's stupid. I really do. It's a European thing. Let's leave it in Europe. Okay? We don't need it. Here's Anthony. Anthony's in Rhode Island.
We steal enough from the Europeans?
We stole a lot. We stole a lot. I'll give you that. Anthony.
The democracy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
How are you?
What's up?
Hey, big time. Big time listener. In the morning and after work. I love you guys. You know, I just want to say that, you know, I think Cam is going to freaking do awesome this year. I don't care what anybody says. Okay. And if they bring somebody in, I think Belichick is more concerned about taking somebody lower in the draft. Like Brady came in sixth, right? Like, all these guys that come in first round pick, whatever, they always end up being crap after a year or two. And you want to get somebody with a chip on their shoulder that played for a crappy team, had nobody behind them, and nobody recognized them, and he's going to come in, and he's going to change it all. I'm just you can bring somebody from a crappy team that's really got good qualities of a quarterback, but never had an opportunity because he didn't go to the great school, or he didn't have the Alabama or
the Division
three
LSU, guy.
But huh?
Get a Division three quarterback.
All right.
Right?
Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and chip on his shoulder. Don't get Trevor Lawrence.
So if you think a lot of those first rounders are crap, how many six rounders do you think are crap?
More.
A lot more than the first round is a crap. Chris is in Springfield. It says I've got the relegation all wrong. I probably do. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I mean, you do have it all wrong, Glenn. And Christian, you're spot on. The whole point of relegation is so that people play all season long. There is no tanking in European soccer because if you finish in the bottom three spots, you're going down. And you and your team have to work your way back up. But what it also does, Glenn, is it means that teams come up. It keeps competitive balance
so that there can't be any passengers. There are no LA Clippers. There are no Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you play that way, you go down. It happened.
What's wrong with the Tampa
25 years ago. Well, I'm giving an example because you love to tell everyone they're going to be terrible in 2 years every day because they're spending all this money like willy-nilly. That's why the European game works. If you go dump a bunch of cash into your club, you have to actually get enough points to stay up. If you have a bad year, Liverpool was in a bad place financially, and the American money pulled them out of it, and it allowed them to get competitive. But they were never going down. Leeds United's one of the biggest clubs in England. They just came back for the first time in 20 years. What was interesting was, you know, if the 1982-83 Yankees, when George took over, and he ran them like an absolute joke, the Yankees would have found their way out of Major League Baseball. Now, we all know that's why it's never going to happen in America.
I hate it. Yeah, I don't like it.
Right? It's not. And that's why the MLS has not taken off and why the rest of the world doesn't really look at the MLS as a competitive soccer league.
Hmm.
But this whole
Sorry,
Glenn.
First of all, it's not great soccer, as you know. At least that's what the soccer experts tell me. And there's an elitist attitude towards it. You know, you're watching Premier League, you're sitting there going, I can't watch MLS. So, but here in the States, people watch the National Football League, and yet they also watch college football, and they watch college football in huge numbers. And I understand it's not the same.
The point of why this is working and why the mistake with this whole European Soccer League, Super League was, is I honestly think they overshot themselves. They were trying to use this as a negotiation tactic with UEFA to get more money for the big clubs when they go into the Champions League. And they
far more detail, I think, than we needed to.
Knew there were so many soccer fans out here.
I'm all soccered out.
I don't know about you guys. I'm soccered out.
I've had my fill for the year. Can we just say that for the year?
Good. There we go. Somebody
it's so bad, I'm ready to talk hockey.
Get up. That's it.
That's how irritated I am about soccer
talk. Look at you. You like it? You like what you're seeing?
Sure. Why wouldn't you? I mean, listen, all the teams are playing great right now in the month of April. It's like the best thing going. The Bruins, you know, listen, if you thought they were in trouble when they had all those injuries with four of their top six defensemen were hurt and you were like some people were freaking out like they were going to miss the playoffs or something like that, look how quickly things have turned around.
Well, I would say Don Sweeney has a lot to do with that in talking about them. What he did at the deadline was absolutely
tremendous.
Outstanding. Yeah. We talked about Taylor Hall, like steal of the trade deadline. And what it did is and people always talk about how it woke up David Krejci. I start to feel bad for David Krejci. I think he's a great player that they haven't taken care of since Horton left, for Christ's sakes. You know, Luch, Horton, and then all of a sudden it was just like, here, try this guy.
Ginla.
Yeah, they had him at the deadline. That was nice. But they just keep putting slop upon slop next to the guy. Everyone's like, Krejci's kind of lost it. Well, last I checked, you're on a line with three guys, and when it's just slop on the right, slop on the left, you're going to get slop. And all of a sudden now, you get Taylor Hall up there, Craig Smith, and these guys look like an actual scoring line, which is something the Bruins haven't had probably since Nathan Horton left.
And
so,
they have,
I think they're for real.
And they have protection in the goalie spot now.
Between
and
the pipes.
I think that's important. Between the pipes. That is ultra important.
Got a guy standing on his head, Glenn.
Standing on his head. And you see young kids do this. I've mentioned this many times. There are young kids that will come up late in the season, and I don't know if it's people haven't seen them. They don't understand their style. They just come up, and they are unbeatable. And right now, they've got one of those. So the next three games, Christian, are...
Sabres. 6 points.
Buffalo.
6 points.
You need the 6 points. Because you right now have 43 games played. Washington's played 46. They have 62 points. You win these three games, 6 points, you got 62. You're right there with Washington and the same number of games at 46. So these three games, you have to win all three of them. And Buffalo has actually played pretty well.
They've been pretty good lately.
Yeah, and they played well against you, too. And they lost in that shootout.
Right. And you've got to win the next three games. You got to make sure you protect
yourself.
Listen,
if this is just like one of those,
and it's five of the next seven is against Buffalo.
Yes,
five of the next seven.
Is this just a post trade deadline honeymoon that we're seeing? Or is this actually sustainable?
Those guys are fitting in. Lou's right. He's got three guys that are fitting in. Plus, he's added a young goaltender in a period where there was uncertainty with Tuukka Rask with the back, right?
And Halak is back now also, right?
Because
he was in sort of COVID protocol. Grizzlick is back also.
Yeah.
So I would say based on the amount of time that's left,
Listen, you can realistically, so you can two catch, of the next three you, games. I mean, can't you catch Washington and the Islanders? I feel like you can.
Yes. No, absolutely.
I just said to you, you get the 6 points and you're tied with Washington at 62 points with the equal number of games. Now, Washington may be playing some games in between here, so it won't look that way. But if you're talking about matching them up with games played, you can do it winning these three games against Buffalo.
Yeah. No, and I listen, I think that they are legit. Now, obviously, I think Tuukka still, you need him
they're
healthy.
They're not sneaky good. They're just good.
No, I think they're legit. Yeah, I think they're really good. And he brought Riley in, too. That kind of settled it a little bit on the left side of defense. And then the fourth line, Lazar, I think he's exactly what you're looking for.
Trent Frederick, take notes.
Yeah, everybody.
That is how you play fourth
but
line
But I just think, like, Taylor Hall woke up Krejci. You know, and it just and that now you have a second line, you got a fourth line, and what you expected, you got help in the defense. You know, Tuukka Rask, you need him healthy, but I think Swayman, he can get hot, whatever. But no, I think they're a legit team right now in the NHL.
Yeah, I think like, they have an insurance policy. Cool, no question. Here's the other one this year. You see all of the same teams. You just talked about five of the next seven because they haven't played Buffalo, but they've played
five of the next
tons
seven.
Against the Islanders, tons against the Capitals, the Penguins, Rangers. You have no idea of outside of your division, what these other teams are like. Does anybody have any idea in the North Division, which are all the Canadian teams? I mean, the Maple Leafs are 61 points, but you really don't see
would that
see
be the Honda
these.
Division, or would that be the...
I don't know which one that is. Is it the West? Or what,
no, I have no clue.
Yeah.
Because the East is the Mass Mutual.
But you're not
East.
Playing any, you're not seeing any of these teams, so you really have no idea as to how your team matches up with any of them. I don't know. It could Vegas be like head and shoulders above every other team in the league, and we just don't know?
I would love to see the Bruins in Washington in the first round. And I know it's a very good team, but that well, you're talking about physical. You're Cassidy after the game. Like he's like, listen, I'm all for physical play. I think some of it gets a little bit overboard. But every time they play them, every single time, it is like a freaking bloodbath. Like that's old school. Now you play them all year long, and then you face them in the playoffs. You know, maybe the Islanders, you know, whatever. Any of them, really. Pittsburgh. But I like to see Washington. I want to see a series against the Capitals in the playoffs. Because I still kind of sit there and say, man, it gets so chippy. And I'm waiting for Chara to just be like, okay, I got to fight somebody. And then I don't know how Jack does. I don't know what Jack Edwards does if Chara goes up after, you know, takes somebody on. What is Jack going to be okay if
turn.
That happens?
No, he'll turn. On a heartbeat? Oh, he is a Bruin loyalist. He'll turn on Chara.
Yeah, I want to see him play the Caps.
Yeah. He will turn.
Eventually, maybe
heartbeat.
In the second round.
All right, big deal or no big deal is coming up at 4:30. Today represents an interesting day in history when you look back at like big, huge sporting events. We'll get to some of that coming up next as well at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF. Big day, 420. Big day. Jack Edwards is all excited.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
What does that mean? Does that mean I can get stoned and not...
April the 20th, that's what it means, right? April the 20th?
I honestly, God, don't get the whole... I've never heard of this before.
You don't think that different people out there have a right to hijack, other than, you know, Hallmark cards, hijack a date and say, it's my day. But 420,
I'm going to come up with my own day. Like this day in history, like today, what happened today that
420?
Is so significant that we should say, well, let's look back.
How about the marathon in 2020? Remember David Ortiz with it?
I do.
All right. All right, boss. This jersey that we wear today, it doesn't say Red Sox. It say Boston. We want to thank you, Mayor Menino. Governor Patrick, the whole police department, for the great job that they did this past week. This is our f***ing city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
Man, nice. I get goosebumps just hearing that again.
It was unbelievable.
I mean,
first time, by the way, that word was ever used in the entire history of Fenway Park PA system.
Jeez.
Never been used before.
That was pretty intense.
Wow. Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, it was like, you know, and I think even, what, this even the CDC came out and said, I have no problem with it?
The FCC, right?
Oh, the FCC.
Yeah.
CDC.
Geez. You're stuck in COVID mode.
Yeah. COVID mode. Yeah, they came out like, yeah, we have no problem with it.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. But we had no problem with it. Like, it's okay. Like, we're totally fine with it. That was like a shocking moment. You're like, wait, what did he just, what did he say? Oh, let me rewind that real quick, right?
Right. That, we all had that reaction, Lou.
This is our fucking city.
I love the way he kind of like, you know, kind of drags out city.
Yeah.
That's what really kind of like drove it home for me. Forget about the cursing.
So, by the way, the Red Sox ended up winning that game, and the players contend that that day kind of turned the whole season around. So here's Don Orsillo. Let's try it again. Don Orsillo with a great call of Daniel Nava's home run to win it.
Nava hits it in the air to right field. Francoeur going back. He's at the wall. Boston, this is for you. A 3-run home run for Daniel Nava puts the Sox on top, 4-2.
Ah, that's some chills. That's some good. Boston, no, that's for you.
Yeah. First Donnie game O. at Fenway after the bombing.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It was. I mean, I don't know if it was like that speech, whatever, but there's no question it kind of, you know, brought that team together. They were already together. You know, it was a good group, but that was just something that kind of brought them even tighter, and I think got a lot of people to kind of jump on that team, appreciate what they were doing. That was fun.
And they carried that jersey around.
Fun team.
They did all of that, and obviously it worked out. All right, let's take you back to another one. You know, another big day?
Sure. What do you got?
420, 1986. Ooh, I may get a little moist with this one. I'm a little moist. It is game two of the playoffs. Boston Celtics against Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls.
Ooh. Ainge guarding Michael Jordan. Jordan goes up with a shot and hits it and has 61 points to tie Elgin Baylor's all-time single-game playoff record that he established against these Celtics. Jordan with 8 on the clock. Jordan ties the game.
Oh, boy.
63 points, and you're looking at an all-time record.
Oh, boy.
Michael Jordan.
Mm. You like that one, Big O, don't you?
I broadcast that game, so I remember quite well. It was game two of that playoff series. You ask a lot of people today, they say, oh, my God, Michael Jordan scored 63. Bulls won that game, right? Nope. Celtics won it. Double overtime, 135-131. Danny Ainge had 24.
Ooh.
Jerry Seasting had a big jumper to put the Celtics in the lead from the free throw line. But that was the day I think everybody said, this guy is something very, very special. Because they did everything they possibly could to defend him, and they just couldn't.
That
they
was
just
awesome. Couldn't. I do remember that game. It was insane what he was doing. They couldn't stop him. And it was like single-handedly almost beat that team. That was great.
Yeah, this was the, I think it was yesterday or the day before last. It was like the, you know, one-year anniversary of when they released the Last Dance. Right?
Oh,
the Chicago Bulls last season.
Remember how much we were waiting for that, given everything we were dealing with?
I know.
We had nothing
something.
To watch.
That was like our sports viewing.
Decided, when is
that was,
it?
Yeah, that was because they were talking about that. That played a big role in that one. I don't know which episode it was, but they were talking about that, how there was one guy who scored 63 points, but you wouldn't know. You would think if you looked at the history books that they won that game and he was the reason why, but no, they lost.
And then the Celtics won comfortably
more than half
in game
the games.
Three.
Yeah.
And by the way, next year, I believe Celtics swept the Bulls in the very next year. So you look at it and say, well, that must have been the jumping off point for Michael Jordan. He lost in the playoffs.
It should also kind of give you an idea, like just even the greatest basketball player, I guess now it's debatable, depending if you listen to Gary Payton, to ever play the game, like still didn't just grab it and go. Like there was pain, there was, you know, difficult series, there was a lot of just, you know, issues where they just didn't just win it right away. Not to sit there and say Tatum or Brown or any of these guys, what the Celtics are going through, are in the same category, but even the best players don't just come right out of college and win it right away.
Well, it takes 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah, well, it takes a while. Takes.
And we're sitting here waiting for Tatum and Brown in 3, 4, 5 years, and we're saying, well, where is it? Well, it might be another 3 or 4 years. I'll give you another big one. You ready for this?
Sure.
On 420. How about 2002? Do you remember what happened that day, big fella?
No.
Let's take you to the NFL draft. Ooh. David Carr picked number one by the Texans. Mel Kiper, who will be a guest on this very program tomorrow, this was his take.
With the first choice in the 2002 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select David Carr, quarterback from Fresno State.
Oh.
How
can you prove that here? It's not like this is a surprise. Hey, look, 6'3", as Mel talked about. 46 touchdowns, 9 interceptions last year. I don't care what level you're playing at. I mean, that's 70 TD passes, 23 picks for your career.
When you look at a quarterback like Joey Harrington, we talk about leadership, and we go back, and yeah, I'll tell you, if I didn't think Joey Harrington and David Carr play, I'd tell you, I think they would be overrated. I'd push them down to 30th, 50th, and Jeff George, 84th, higher 30th. I don't see anything with Harrington or Carr that you can't say is a question mark in terms of them becoming a quality starting quarterback. Sure, you can say Carr's a sidearm delivery. You can say Harrington doesn't have the gun. There are a lot of quarterbacks that don't have tremendous arm strength and win Super Bowls. So to me, if I thought they were overrated, I'd tell you. I don't see that happening with these two. I think they're going to both be solid or much better than that at the pro level. And I think when you look at Carr and Harrington 3-4 years down the road, you are not going to call any one of these two players a bust or a disappointment.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Mel needs a duel.
Don't play that tomorrow.
It's a bolt of those
All I know
guys.
Is that
don't
I,
play that.
Oh. I play, for, I play with David
pissed.
Carr. I play with him. He was, I don't know, maybe if he would just, he had just given up on football life. But he was terrible.
You are not going to call any one of these two players a bust or a disappointment.
This should be
call
a sign.
Both of them.
This should be a sign. Okay, think about it. Joey Harrington up for the Heisman Trophy. Oh. David Carr, first pick of a new franchise, the Houston Texans, couldn't get out of his own way. No. Neither one of them. Both of them were terrible. Like,
but,
terrible.
You know what happens, and we've talked about it. There, you overrate the quarterback.
That's what's happening
now.
Right,
because of the significance of the position. You don't hear a lot of people talking about offensive linemen, defensive edge rushers. It's not sexy. Everybody wants to talk about the quarterback, and so we're talking about five guys, and probably three of the five and maybe four of the five are going to end up being duds. How about this one? 1986, again, 420. The Jets' number one pick.
With the first selection in the first round, the New York Jets select Keyshawn Johnson, wide receiver, Southern California.
And the Jets have just won the Super Bowl.
Now everybody puts all this big old baggage on my shoulders and expects me to, you know, come out and turn this team around from 3-13 to 13-3. And it could possibly happen. But for me, you know, to say that I'm going to single-handedly do it by myself, it's not possible.
Mm. That's interesting, the reaction, because you guys probably remember. How many times have the Jets been booed in New York when they used to do it in New York and they would have the draft every year? And those Jets fans would all show up and boo no matter who the Jets picked in the number one
pick. It just goes
right
to show
there,
you
they were cheering them.
How different things are. The first overall pick, wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about like maybe Kyle Pitts, you know, the fourth pick in the draft, like three quarterbacks, and then the first guy after court would be a tight end. But 1996, the first player drafted was a wide receiver. Would you ever see that? Do you think you'll ever see that again?
You have a Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver this year, and he's not going to go.
No, just
you
know, just absolute force or quarterback, right?
Right.
Like, I don't think you'll ever see a wide receiver go one, will you?
Not by Bill Belichick. You won't.
I mean,
there's
crazy.
No way he's picking one up there.
Mm.
All right, so there you go. Pretty eventful day, huh?
420.
420.
Which Christian has no idea what's about.
I do now.
No clue.
I do now.
Unbelievable.
I guess, are we all going to partake
for those
in this?
Who participate in cannabis.
Should we all
kind
of partake in the celebration? Kids, how does this work?
Kids from California. Well, I get the baseball show tonight at 11.
You
may not want to do it before the show.
Kind of hurts my
Visine. I heard Visine's a good remedy
but
for
guys
eyes.
From California. Imagine being from California and not knowing 420 is.
What? Why should I
you
know,
didn't know
what
that
it means?
At all, Christian? I thought you were kidding.
God,
you didn't
I have
know
no idea. They told me today what it meant. I have no idea. I've never heard of it before in my life.
I said yesterday, I said something about tomorrow's 420. And you're like, what's that?
Yeah. Well,
like, what
how
mean,
am I supposed
that?
To know? Is it like a pothead's version of Christmas?
Yeah, every day, yeah. 420. What time is it?
You went to school in Boulder, Colorado.
That's unbelievable. What is that supposed to do with anything?
That's like the pod capital of the world.
Maybe now. I mean, but so is, you know, a lot of other colleges, around the country.
We'll get our buddy Mikey Adams to call you and give you a history of it, because it's like Christmas Day for
him.
Some people celebrate it like it's the biggest day of the year.
Okay.
All right, the big fella's going to give you big deal or no big deal. It's coming up next.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question, there's not a bad idea, and go.
Now back to OMF.
You got anything to say for yourselves?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal. Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
All right, how about this? Big deal, no big deal is brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. Losing your hair, kind of a big deal. Treating it with Dr. Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, not a big deal. Give him a call at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Well, how about this, guys? I would like to say congratulations to all you massholes out there.
What do we do?
Congratulations.
What do we do?
Yours truly excluded from this. You guys have won a major award. I don't know if you knew this or not.
Well, that's great.
You have now been voted and ranked the snobbiest state in the union. All right, let's hear it for all you Massachusetts
people.
I'm proud of that.
Get the duck boats ready.
There's a company called Zipio, which is based in San Mateo, California. They compiled a list.
Wait, where are they from?
San Mateo, California.
Okay.
They compiled a list by weighing factors such as the percent of the population with a bachelor's degree, the percent of those with a degree in arts and humanities, the number of Ivy League colleges, and how much wine each state consumed. Lou, I'll start with you. Lifer here in New England. Big deal or no big deal, you big-ass snob?
First off, it's no big deal. I don't mind that at all. We are. I think we are. I think they got it right. Although I don't like the way they're doing it, just because there's more educated people in Massachusetts and people drink wine. No, I think they got it right, though. When you really break down Massachusetts, there's no question about it. I would question because I think six New England states, I think we're in the top nine. Like Vermont was number two, New Hampshire, like Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Like snobby Rhode Island.
Yeah, Maine.
I don't see it. I don't know. Massachusetts, I'll give it to you. There's no question. We can go up and down. There are towns where you're like, yeah, whatever. People spend like ridiculous amount of money just so they can say they're from there. Right, because that's just prestige.
Is that what comes with it?
Yeah, that's what comes
so you live
with
if
it.
You live in Duxbury, you get like an extra
Duxbury
reward.
Sure, yeah, it's not so sure with me. Kingham's another one. Cohasset.
We call those pukes Glennis. Down in Duxbury.
But I think they got this one right.
So
I just don't like the way they went about it.
So what do you think, Glenn?
It's no big deal because I knew this. I knew we were the snobbiest state.
Beautiful.
They knew it. Well, why is this a surprise? We should have already retired the trophy. Why are we even taking it back to competition year after year? But I agree with Lou. They're all wrong about this other stuff. Like this great appreciation of wine drinkers or whatever. I can tell you, Massachusetts, I know, as a wine drinker, middle of the pack. Middle of the pack. Do you know what the number one state is for drinking wine in this country?
Texas.
Nope. You would think California, wouldn't you? You would think California? Idaho.
We'll be drinking some Apothic red wine.
Exactly. See, Idaho's number one. You know why? New Hampshire's number two, I believe. Washington, D.C. is right there because the politicians. Idaho and New Hampshire because the taxes are low on wine. That's
why. I don't understand. Like, Rhode Island?
Now, what did Rhode Island do?
Yeah, I don't
they're kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the union, aren't they not?
Vermont's too. You got a problem with Vermont, though.
I have a problem with all you New Englanders, okay?
Why?
Because here's the thing
snobs.
You guys don't get it. Okay, you guys were born and raised here. No, Massachusetts should definitely be one.
Okay,
I don't know. I think Rhode Island is just guilty by association.
Connecticut,
you know. But the thing is, like, you guys who were born and raised in New England, you just think overall you're better than us. Like, we were here first. You know, we started the whole thing, and then you're just, you know, it's like the Cabots, the Coolidges, you know, it's the first families, it's your country clubs and your boarding,
you
schools.
You can't even get along
lacrosse.
With the people in the northern
it's
part
all
of your
this,
state.
It's all this stuff that just oozes just entitlement.
Ooze
and
this.
Like, I'm better than you. And then it's Harvard. It's like, people think like Harvard is the problem that you're stopping. No, there's more freaking universities and schools and colleges in this state, then in Idaho.
Look, did you go to Harvard?
I would agree with
it
that.
It is.
Yeah,
it
but
just,
why?
It's
you
a
got
reputation.
A lot of schools?
Like, think about it.
You're snobby because you go to UMass?
Yeah. You're snobby because
really?
You went to UMass.
UMass yes. Amherst.
UMass Amherst. What is that, the blue-collar school? My kid goes to UMass, okay?
Yes,
I said, you're not going to be some snob.
So is your
you're
kid
going
a snob?
To UMass. No, I sent her to the blue-collar school in Massachusetts. I didn't send her to Bentley or all these other high-end colleges, all these boarding schools. Like, that doesn't exist anywhere other than Massachusetts. Hey, you know what?
Okay,
you're
we
good?
Got it. We're snobs. We accept
snobbies.
The award. Thank you very much. When's the ceremony?
You know, you know where California is? California is seventh. Here's what I don't understand. Why is Oregon on this list? What is it that Oregon has
snobby.
Done? What?
Oh, no,
what is Oregon?
Snobby.
Oregon is snobby?
Oh, yes. Very
based
snobby.
On what?
A lot like Massachusetts.
I still go back to like Rhode Street Island. Snobby. I think they drink yes. wine. They still drink Coors Light down there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, they're it's just common, man. It's beautiful. There. I love Rhode Island. But snobby? They're not snobby. They're
Maine?
Good people.
Maine snobby?
Like Vermont.
I get Vermont. I get
Why?
Vermont. You, what are you? You and your, like, you know, your maple syrup getting it out of the tree. You think you're better than us because you get maple syrup out of a tree? Who do you think you are? You stupid idiots.
Where else would you get maple syrup?
I know. There is an air of arrogance. Like, people who live in Vermont, they usually have, like, oh, their country house, their ski house in Vermont. Like, New Hampshire's the one that I would think, okay, this is like, okay, live free or die.
Yes.
They don't belong there.
No, they don't belong. No,
they belong with Texas,
you think it's
Florida.
Because they're just sort of bordering Mass?
Yeah,
so they're
kind of attached to it. Yeah.
Southern New Hampshire is now Massachusetts. It really is. Salem, they've all become Massachusetts.
You think some guy up there, like Northern Maine, is like snobbish?
I guess.
No. Like, living with the elk. You know,
he's
there's
out
nobody
there,
living
like,
there.
Going out hunting. Bring this food home.
New Hampshire does not belong in this list. I hang out in,
Stop
in New
it.
Hampshire. I get it, what they're like. Well, they're like, live free or die, motorcycle riding.
Dale. He's kind of snobbish.
We don't wear masks.
Is. How about the least snobby state? West Virginia.
I buy that.
That is 100% accurate.
Yeah, yeah. I buy that.
No education there.
See, that's
well, they that's low. No it's education. No education, no
Freedom
wine.
Jacksonville
it's
again.
All
no
like
running water.
It's all moonshine.
Yeah, no, it's
like moonshine.
Definitely. I buy the whole like Massachusetts is snobby. There's no question about it.
Yeah, think about
there
it.
Is no question about we it. Especially living in the South Shore, you're surrounded. See, that's right. I like Marshfield, with the common man.
You gotta go farther.
Too many people
south.
From Dorchester moved to Marshfield for us to be snobs.
Oh God,
period.
Unbelievable. Congratulations. Jeez. Okay, I want to hit this one before we move on because we spent way too much time on the first one.
We did.
All right, so Jeremy Piven. We all know who Jeremy Piven is, right?
Yes.
Big time actor. He's also a friend of Julian Edelman's. Well, they grabbed Jeremy Piven on the street and they asked him if Julian Edelman should be a Hall of Famer.
1,000%.
1,000%?
Yes.
Some people would say the numbers aren't there.
The numbers aren't there. Look at the numbers. He's got 3 Super Bowl rings. He's got 36 touchdowns. He's 5'9". He's Jewish. He runs a 4.3 40. He played quarterback in high school.
Facts.
I mean, I look in the mirror and I see Julian Edelman. I don't see me.
Big deal, no big deal, Glenn. Jeremy Piven politicking for Julian Edelman.
It's no big deal. He's a friend of Julian Edelman. I would think that every one of Julian Edelman's friends are coming out and saying he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Is he? No. But they're going to say it if they're friends of his, right?
Yeah, you know, so he goes on, and you'd be surprised at how much he actually knows about what's going on up here in the snobbiest state in the union.
He was one of Tom Brady's favorite targets. That's not a participation trophy.
Right.
He ran great routes. He hustled. You look at his highlights and look at his stats. Even Belichick's coming out and saying the variable with Julian Edelman is he shows up at the big moments. Right.
What do you think, Lou? Big deal, big deal.
I say no
think
big deal.
Think it's going to make a difference?
No, no big deal because, like Glenn said, he's like he's good friends with the guy, right? He's best friends with the guy. I think it's impressive that he knows. I mean, we heard it. He kind of went off. He knows all the stats of Edelman. Like, he's pretty tight with him.
Yeah, I was actually.
Well, he's a big fan of him, I should say.
Wasn't he on, what is it, that show? Entourage? Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Him and.
Brady was in it.
Brady was in.
Well, Brady. Yep. Gronk was too.
Gronk yep. was in it. Yeah.
The Amendola. Premiere. Was Amendola on Entourage?
He
I don't think
been.
So. Right, he is the handsiest.
I mean, he's been the best looking guy in the set.
Yeah, I was amazed at how much you knew about it. But
yeah, but no big deal. It's just one of his best friends. Of course he's going to sit there and say
Listen, I don't think it's going to make a difference, Glenn, but that's big deal and no big deal.
Wow, that was a quick one.
What do you mean? It was long. We went long.
Well, we
actually
long
gave me an extra 4 minutes.
The worst part about it was I don't think you've ever thrown.
You're such a snob.
No,
Glenn, do you consider Cohasset snobby? Now, I know some people from Cohasset. I
like
them.
Think
they're good people.
I think
but
they're
you,
a lot
I don't
nice
like you,
people.
But I'm just saying, you're surrounded by the snobs.
I'm a snob, so.
Listen, I drove through Glenn's neighborhood. Which is beautiful. The old neighborhood. He moved to the cheaper part of town now. He sold his big house.
Slumming it.
He's slumming it now.
Now he's slumming it.
And some other neighborhood.
Now he's down like 7,000 square feet.
Here's the thing. Like, so you would think, like, so you guys, you know, you have your rich neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed that, like, California, L.A., Hollywood.
Right.
You know, Sunset Boulevard. The all the actors who think they're better than everybody. Then there's boarding schools in L.A., too, that just doesn't have the reputation for it. I mean, this is where this whole college, you know, scandal happened right here in Hollywood of all these actors trying to get their kids in USC and Stanford.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
They wanted to go to colleges Cali's right here in the snobbiest state.
Cali was in there. Cali was seventh after basically all the New England states.
Yeah, but I think they really broke it up, though.
The amazing one about California is they are fairly low down on the wine drinking. You would think that state because the wine is produced there, right?
Yeah, but it's producing, like, you know, it's not really. Here's the thing.
That is California. Northern California is California.
But it, let me tell you, it isn't. It is, but it isn't. I keep trying to tell you that Tom Brady is not from California. He's from Oregon.
No. Okay,
he's really from Oregon.
No, he's from
Northern California. What we do is Southern California's L.A. County,
no San Francisco,
Orange County.
No Oakland, no San Jose.
We don't want
anything.
Sonoma,
Boston.
No.
And this whole list
was put together in San Mateo, California, okay? And you know, Edelman and his boys over there, they know exactly what that neighborhood's like. Snobs, all of them.
You guys won
the award. Congratulations.
So we spent a few minutes talking about this the other day, and we were wondering whether this was going to be a big deal or not, because the NFL Players Association came out and basically told the players, these volunteer workouts, forget it. Don't even show up. We don't want to show up at the volunteer workouts. We're going to do a lot of stuff by Zoom anyway, but we don't really want you guys showing up, because last year, did we not prove that you don't need to show up on a team's facility? The season worked out perfectly fine. We were able to get through it. We don't need to do it. Isn't it amazing that we're now hearing reports, and Mike Reese has had reports yesterday and today? It seems like most of the Patriots are all showing up. I'm looking at other teams right now. I don't see any team where there's a huge, long absence list. It seems like a lot of the players are showing up. So what the hell happened here?
Well, are you surprised at all?
No.
So the last time I counted, I think 20 teams kind of released a statement. Like, you've seen them all before. It's got the NFL Player Union, like, you know, letterhead on it, NFLPA, and statement on behalf of, you know, fill in the blank for the team. Like, statement of on behalf of the New England Patriots players, statement on behalf of the Cleveland Browns players. And everybody says, hey, COVID's bad, it's real, you know, we don't feel safe, so, you know, these guys aren't going. The reality is they never really needed to send that out in the first place, because it's voluntary. It's always been voluntary. It will always be voluntary.
Which means if you're young and not proven enough, it's not voluntary.
It isn't. It's never voluntary. It isn't.
Voluntary. There's no such thing as voluntary. However, I think if you got enough cachet, you can probably just sit there and say, Brady's not going. You know what I mean? Or Gronk, or even Edelman if he was healthy. Like, we don't, whatever. Like, I think if you got enough cachet on the team, then you really don't have to go. But I tell you, if you're a second-year player and you don't show up, you're insane. And if you don't think that, like, it's going to stick in the back
of
Bill's mind, like, oh, you know, it's like, listen, you guys don't have to go. But, I mean, I would like to see you guys, you know, committed to the team and the program and your career.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, show that you care. And if you do that, then I think it'd be great. But you don't have to go. It's up to you. It's your call. But if you don't go,
such a shame play.
You're dead to me. I mean, it's real.
But with Belichick, I think that probably rings in that locker room.
There's no voluntary unless you're like a stud.
No.
And you don't have to.
Well, look at it with Cam Newton. So he's been an MVP. He's been all of these different things. And he showed up. Now he gets a $100,000 bonus by doing it. Most of the guys get nowhere close to that. So he's getting $100,000. On the other hand, he knows. His job is not guaranteed.
Well, Glenn, the other thing with Cam Newton is you can't go on podcasts bitching about how you didn't have enough time to understand this calculus to sit there and say, oh, I didn't get to work out with these guys. And if everybody used this excuse in the book, he had COVID. He joined a team late. Wait till he understands the playbook and then say, you know what?
Calculus.
I ain't going OTAs. Voluntaries? No. No, he's in a position where he has to go, given all the excuse-making everyone's making, including himself for himself.
Yeah, and that is ultimately, you know, if it fails and he doesn't get the job or he loses the job, no one can say, hey, you know what, he had no practice, he wasn't there, he didn't know the playbook, and these built-in excuses. He's just gonna have to be like, I just wasn't good enough. What's Brandon Marshall gonna say now? Like, what's he gonna say? I'm not better than, there's not 32 better quarterbacks better than me. Yeah, there are. There are.
Yeah, but I'm surprised people weren't sick of it last year when he brought it up. If that was the case, why didn't he get better? Week 12, 13, 14, why didn't we see him getting better at that point? I understand. Maybe COVID did set him back. I don't know. Maybe they did change everything while he was gone. Seems a little bit ridiculous, but okay, we'll buy into it. How is it by the end of the season, you're not getting better? I think he got worse as we got toward the end of the season. If that was the case, that he didn't have enough time to pick up everything they were doing, how is it you get worse when the season progresses on? You should be getting better, right?
See, at this point in time, the information is just overkill. Like, you're just like, what are you going over? Like, this, it's the same
should
place.
Have it by rote at that point.
Oh, it should be easy. Now you're just, and I would say, like, right now, so there's, it's all like,
So they're going in groups to work out. There's any meeting is virtual. They're not having like in, you know, room meetings. They're not even doing that. So he's just showing face. He's setting a good example. He wants that parking spot. That's what it is. The parking spot.
Who was that guy for Washington? Taylor Heineke? Was that his name?
Love him.
Okay, so he showed up the first week of December. He started one game for them, seemed to pick it up pretty easily, and then a month later, he was playing and giving a fairly competitive performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team that went on to win the Super Bowl. How did he pick it up?
Yeah, but Glenn, they didn't like surprise change the offense like day of the game. Like they kept it real for him. They didn't try any tricks with him. They made sure they, you know, for Cam, they tried to throw a funny on him. That's their version of hazing. So, yeah, when he leaves, let's change all the protections.
So Bill came up and said, "We might only win 7 games, but we're going to have a hell of a lot of laughs because we're just going to prank the hell out of Cam Newton. Yeah.
Let's keep hazing Cam. Okay, this time let's make him play wide receiver.
Good luck. All right, we got another hour to go after that 6-game win streak, Green Teamers. What happened last night? Uh-oh. We'll get to that and more coming up in the final hour of OMF.
Go behind the scenes and follow us on Instagram at WEEI Sports.
All right, Sox, big Patriots Day win yesterday afternoon to even that 4-game series with Chicago. So as they go for yet another win tonight at Toronto, they come to town, rather. We want you to get your next win with Window World.
That's right. Whether you need a new roof or need to replace those old windows, the one you need to call is our good buddy and friend, Eric Peabody, and the team at Window World.
See, Christian and I are both Window World customers, and you should be too. Now, they don't use gimmicks. They just guarantee unbeatable quality and pricing, and they're backed with industry-best warranties.
That's right. Window World offers zero-down, interest-free financing on their entire lineup of award-winning windows, doors, siding, and roofing. Get 10 Energy Star windows for as low as $4,569 or as low as $89 a month.
So as the Sox go for their next win tonight against Toronto, let's get you your next win like Christian and I did with Window World. Give them a call at 800-NEXT-WIN. That's 800-NEXT-WIN. Or you can visit them at windowworldofboston.com. Window World, the official replacement windows for the Boston Red Sox.
Get ready. It's time to celebrate at 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lowell. The Jeep Celebration event is on. Everyone gets savings of up to $7,000 on their entire line of new cars, trucks, and SUVs. Qualified buyers can get 0% financing for up to 84 months or save thousands on zero-down lease deals. 495 is a great selection of new Jeep SUVs and Ram trucks ready to go. Cash in on the Jeep Celebration event now at 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram or visit online at 495jeep.com.